I think
the last couple of weeks, you know, we're starting to play a lot better, starting to play the way we envision us playing. And I think, you know, the best is yet to come here, obviously, but we're on the right track there. That's the style of play we want. We want to be a physical defense and an intelligent one. And last couple of weeks, we've done a much better job of communicating to each other, and it's not all the way there. We give up a play in the third quarter there. We're supposed to be double coverage on third down, and, we missed that, and that led to me tripping over the sideline chains and messing up the next call. So it was unfortunate that whole whole thing of events happened, but that's what happened.
Tripped, and that's why it was late on the touchdown.
No, they hurried up, and I was at the guy for giving up the completion and double coverage, and your motion gets the better of you then, and then I should have just called timeout, come to think of it, but I looked up, saw Mike Adams, and I'm like, we had a real good defense, and doesn't look that way set for what we assumed they would do, knowing Cam Cameron, and he ran the ball out of 11 personnel, which we knew he was going to do, and I couldn't get the people out there fast enough. So, squarely on my shoulders, but mathematically there was 11 out there. He's just way on the other corner. But unfortunately, that was my fault for sure.
Eric, and it was pretty heated. Eric was down there barking, and is that normal, or what's being said at that?
No, that was normal. I mean, both of us disappointed in what happened, and because I really thought we could play with these guys. I laugh about it now, but it hurt then, and that was something that really, you guys are playing that hard. You hate to take the game away from them, which after we made the mental mistake on the double coverage, I didn't give our guys a chance on that play, and it's unfortunate. We knew Cam. We know he's how good he is in the red zone, and thought we had a real good plan set there. We just never got to execute
it. I mean, a lot of times you see a player on the field, like Ron Sealing, he's only got 10 guys, and a safety or a linebacker will call a timeout in that spot.
Yeah, I was hoping and praying, too, believe me, that was going to get executed. Never did. And, blame squarely on me. I mean, that's something that we worked on today in practice. I don't know if you guys were out there and saw that, but those are things that you learn from and you grow from, and been coordinating a long time, but not just at this level in college and everything else. And you hate to screw one up, so we have two calls. You guys will be happy to know we have two calls if that situation ever occurs again.
You've done a pretty good job of bothering an experienced quarterback, Cutler, and bothering a second year decent quarterback, Flacco. Now you get a rookie, so do your eyes light up in terms of being able to confuse him?
I think so. I mean, I think you definitely want to be able to do that. The guy's got a great arm. I mean, physically, this guy is really an imposing kid. He's got a big weapon there in that right arm, but hopefully we can make some plays on him. We got a glimpse of him in the preseason, and was real impressed with this kid. He's something, and they got that Megatron out there at wide out, so he's, they got some really good weapons there. And Scott Linehan's obviously one of the finer coaches in football, so on offense. But we're to the point now we just want to play great. And, we're going to keep working until we do.
274 yards, which if you look at league averages is, a great number this year. So was that a great game?
It's not a great game yet. We made the mental mistake there, but it's close to what we're looking for. I mean, we want to be an excellent defense, and talk's cheap. The proof's going to be in if we can go out and execute it. And I honestly feel we gave up quite a few yards in that Chicago game, but I thought we were playing well, and we were playing hard and physical the way you got to play to win in this league. And last couple of weeks, I think we're on the right path.
Curiosity on the stats. I mean, 274, that's the Giants number one in deep. Is that a number that you say, hey, guys, the Giants are giving up 274 yards a game. We give up 274 today. Is that something you actually throw out there just as a confidence builder or whatever?
Not really. Right now, I'm not a huge stat guy. You know, and I never knew the Giants were giving up 274 a game. Good for them. But, you know, we got to play good. And you know when you play well on defense. You know what it feels like. You know what it looks like. And, you know, we got to keep improving until we keep consistently playing well. And like I say, the last 2 weeks look more of the envision that myself and Eric have for our defense.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that Megatron they have out there?
The guy's pretty good. I mean, I liked him better when he was on the sideline. He was hurt. But no, he's really something special. The kid goes after the football. I think he and Stafford have really good timing on because everybody plays this big guy the same way. They try to hit him up front and keep somebody behind him. And he does a great job of releasing off the line of scrimmage and then going after that football. You know, and Stafford delivers it, and they're pretty good. So, he's looking good, and he's definitely one of the better receivers I've seen on tape.
Can you talk about, I'm not dwelling on that play, but talk about any kind of substitution situation. How hectic is it on the sideline? Who makes sure the right guys get in?
Well, that all comes on the coordinator. I mean, if you get caught with 10 guys, you know, on the field, that's a sure sign the coordinator's not doing his job. And you know, there's simple hand signals you give, and now with these mics, you can put it in the microphone and tell them what you want. You know, that situation, I took too long to get the call in there, and you know, but they shouldn't really be a factor nowadays. If they substitute, okay.
I'm just talking about any situation. You have, you know, 4 or 5 guys coming off the field, whatever, and how do you avoid
confusion? Well, there's hand signals you use. So as a guy's going on the field, he'll use hand signals to get the right people on. So you're letting the players that are out there on the field know exactly what group is in the game. So that's what you do. You use hand signals. So it's usually not that big of a problem. The offenses will try to end up bringing different players in and out. But there's a rule now that, you know, like we were kind of getting messed over a little bit on some of their substitutions. You're only supposed to have 11 in the huddle. It looked like they had 12 a few times. And, you know, that's a rule that, you know, that is usually enforced. So maybe it was. But what you usually do there is, if there is a change in substitution by the offense, the defense has time to match it. So it used to be you were at the mercy of the officials on getting the 12-man in the huddle call, or now you got to play no matter what. Well, now there's a situation, hey, I got to get my guys on the field. You could tell them that and alert them to them, and they got to hold the offense up, you know. So it's a lot better. You know, it's at least, you know, makes for a calmer sideline, you know, when the guys are changing personnel and you got time to say, okay, I want this guy in, let's go. You know what I mean? So that's the rules now in the NFL.
Did they run a guy on after they broke in the huddle last week, like switching and out a guy, heap for something?
Yeah, it looked that way to me. You know, I'm not sure. Maybe it's the bright lights of Monday night. That's what it looked like to me.
But that's not. Once you break the huddle, you're supposed to be able to sub.
Right.
Well, Rob, didn't that happen several times that I saw at least? I mean, it looked like they're ready to break the huddle, and there's somebody running in off the sidelines like he forgot to be in there, or he was sent in on purpose, as you know, after you guys had made your call.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they re-huddled. I can't remember the exact circumstance. I know there's a couple, different things. You know, Cam's famous for doing, you know, for stretching the way, you know, the rules and things like that. He's a good coach. I think he does a good job, you know, I think we were on point there. We had a great plan for him, and it's unfortunate we didn't win the game.
Just to clarify, if you had it to do over again, you would have called the timeout and just stopped because you saw what was going to happen. Do you have the authority from Eric to call the timeout, or does that have to come from him?
Well, I mean, obviously Eric's the head coach, and you saw what Orion called timeout a long time ago as an assistant coach. That didn't work out real good, so ideally, the head coach would call that timeout, but in a situation like that, I'm sure he would have preferred the timeout over the giving up the touchdown.
What do you say about Corey Williams not playing all that much in relation to what you would expect of a high-paid former Green Bay franchise player, blah, 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 and the fact that Williams is expressing some disappointment and frustration over that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm not like the – when you're a coach, you really don't know who's getting paid what or, you know, any of that stuff. You know, the history of how the young man got here.
Money, he thinks he can play, you know. He's
right. Well, he's made some pretty good plays for us this season. You know, I think he's got a couple of sacks. He's had some hurries on the quarterback. So I'm not real sure, you know, what you're talking about on the, you know, what does he expect to do, you know. I'm not sure.
Can you talk a little bit about Sean Rodgers? He's going back to play Detroit. Just now that you've been around him for a little bit more than half a season, just how good is this guy?
Sean could be excellent. I mean, he plays his heart out. He's always working. He's a good student of the game. He's a special player. You know, the tough thing with Sean is, you know, a lot of people put 2-3 guys on him, so he can't make every play when that happens. And, you know, even a great player like Sean can't make all those plays. And, you know, but he sure frees up a lot of other people. You know, we've got linebackers making plays like crazy, you know, because of Sean. We have a rookie, Kaluka Maeva, goes out and plays his heart out in that game. And a lot of that was due to Sean. You know, and also, you know, Matt Eberflus, our linebacker coach, has taken that kid under his wing and has done a tremendous job with him. I mean, handling Ray Rice is not easy in the open field. And, I mean, how many times did he stop him on third down? You know, was outstanding. Those are open field tackles that aren't easy. You know, but they're rehearsed. Eberflus has taken that guy and worked him on those situations, know what a big challenge that was in the game, and it's amazing. You know, the way I look at it, he's got three kids. He's got Gracie, Giada, his two daughters, and now he's got Kaluka. He's got a son now. You know, but that kid's made strides. I mean, you guys got to be impressed with the way that young kid's come on and done some real fine things.
What does Sean, I mean, he's the knack for blocking kicks. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Last time, you know, when I was around, you know, as a coach's son, you know, a coach's kid, I guess we're growing up now, me and my brother, but you've been around it all your life. Alan Page used to do it for the Vikings, and Matt Blair, they were unbelievable at blocking kicks, and about every other time a guy would drop back to kick one, they'd block it, so I've seen it, and it's just unbelievable. It's unique, it's timing, it's power, and, you know, it's fun to watch Sean do that to people.
About Rex showing that emotion on Monday, and I guess I got the first game too. Is he the guy who wears his emotions on his sleeve?
I think we come by that honestly. You know, he is who he is, and we're emotional guys. I don't know if you know that, but we are. And you know, we believe in our players. We love our players, and, you know, when you're around guys all, you know, all day long and all night, you know, you love them or you hate them. We end up loving the guys, and, you know, so I'm sure he's disappointed with how things are going, you know, but, I mean, he's a typical Ryan. He's going to come out swinging. I mean, he's like me. None of us are happy. We're having a pretty miserable year right here, but we're just going to keep working until we get it right. You know, that's one thing we were taught by our father.
Not something for me. Does the offensive team determine their receivers as to who's going to be covering them, based on whether they just go to the right side or the left side, the reason I'm asking is because I was curious if you wanted, say, Eric Wright to cover Calvin Johnson, but Calvin Johnson's on one side or the other, and Eric prefers to be on one side or the other, and they don't match up. Can you just place Eric, say, on Calvin Johnson, or is where Eric's placed based on whether he's more comfortable on the right or left side?
No, we could definitely do that. With Eric Wright, this guy's played all season on the most difficult assignment. We put him out there on the most difficult assignment, and it's based on personnel, coverage, everything we have. So when you see him in the other corner running around, crossing pass, it's because of something that we've got assigned to him, that we've assigned to him as a defense. And so, yeah, we could definitely have him on Calvin Johnson all game, or we could choose to go some other way and you know, take care of it some other kind of way. But, no, you can definitely do that. It's the offense never dictates to the defense. The defense has the eraser, and we can do whatever we want.
So it's based on the fact that you said Eric's been covering the top receivers all year, you would anticipate then he would be kind of trying to blanket Calvin Johnson.
Well, actually, you said that with the top receiver. What I said was he could cover the top receiver, or he's got the most difficult assignment per play. So, yeah, but they're not always in man coverage. You know, a lot of times there's a loaded zone one way and then man the other and things like that. So there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. Now, when I was in Oakland, you would have been absolutely right. I mean, man coverage every snap. You're taking this guy and you're taking that guy. But here, doesn't always look like it, but we're very multiple on defense, and we're very complex, and we're trying to do the best we can with our group, with our talent, and the mindset going forward of how to attack an offense, you know, how to attack this young quarterback this week, and there'll be multiple things that young kid sees.
You were around one of the most renowned cornerbacks in the league last year.
In Nobby?
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, this, not to compare Wright to an all-pro necessarily, but I guess I'm asking you.
Well, I've seen strides. I mean, when Nobby, when I first got there, Nobby was a young kid that was playing safety, and his work ethic developed himself into that great player. Nobody could take credit for that young man's success except Nobby. He was phenomenal. He worked at it. He spent hours on the practice field afterwards, hours in the film room by himself, and he made himself tremendous, and he really is. He's tremendous. He's a tremendous person also. Eric Wright has a lot of those same work ethics that Nnamdi does. And do I expect to see a growth out of him to become a great player? Absolutely. No question about it. Will he be as great as Nnamdi is? I don't know. I mean, Nnamdi, to me, is special.
Is Wright's coverage skill and potential close to that?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. And since I've been here, my first, time that I got here, this guy's much further along than Nnamdi was, much further along. Can he develop his skills? He's got so much talent. You know, he's got so much talent that, yeah, he could be a superstar in this league. He just keeps working at it. He will be.
The game that David Bowens had?
It's unbelievable. I mean, the guy, great communication, first of all. He's a great leader. I know it is not sure if anything come out on him. The guy's a leader, and his teammates appreciate that, and they respect that.
They talked about the captain.
Oh, good. Well, there you go. I didn't want to break it. So there you go. He's captain for a reason. Guys believe in him. He did a great job of communication. I haven't seen a Mike Backer play that well, in a long time. And he's had extra work. This guy's a veteran. He's played a long time. He's got a real good feel for the blitz. He worked on extra technique with Andy Dickerson, one of our linebacker coaches. And the guy really is something special. And he limps around all practice, all practice. When you see him, he looks horrible. And then you get out there and watch him play, and my God, the guy is physical as he can be, and he's tough, and he's helping us. He really is helping us become a much better, tougher defense.
Cryer, what makes you cry?
Lifetime when I'm watching with my wife. That's the truth. She'll ball, and I'll. I don't know what it is about those shows. Kids. Make you cry, and every once in a while, players make you cry.
He's going to look this up. He's barely started in his career. For you to say what you just said, one of the better Mike linebacker game.
He really did. I mean, you guys saw.
Take your word. Why didn't people start him at other points in his career?
That's a hard question. That's a great question. It's just hard to. You don't remember that, I believe he was a D tackle or something like that, a DN when he first came into the league. So for him to be able to move around from outside backer to now inside, he's had to have been around the game to be able to see it at that slow tempo. you know, because the game is in slow speed for him, you know, so he can see it, make the adjustments, call the defenses. I mean, we're not running the easiest defense here, and that's why we really, you know, pride ourselves in having tough, physical, smart players. And he really is a smart guy, and he did a great job. If you go back and watch the tape, you'll see him every time making a hand signal to the secondary on what calls we're in and also what coverage we're in. And he did that. And we're looking forward to him doing that and continuing that and, you know, being successful. And we all know, you know, he does have a knack for being a blitzer and for hitting people pretty hard. He hits those guards, you know, and brings tears to their eyes, speaking of tears. So, you know.
He's one of several 30-somethings on the defense. Do you worry at all that you're getting something good together this year, but, you know, they might be getting too old to build with?
No, I don't think so. Like you told me, he hasn't started that many games, and I think he's got a lot of tread left on his tires. So, you know, what we just want to play is good, solid defense is what you guys want, and it's it'll help us win. And, you know, right now there's not enough of that. You know, we're not doing it quite good enough to win yet. But I'm encouraged by the way they're playing, and I'm encouraged by this week. You know, I know we can have a great game this week if we just execute. We got guys studying extra, guys working hard, and you know, I honestly believe we're going to come out with a great performance this week.
Speaking of hard hits, you mentioned, have you been trying Brady out at corner?
What's that?
Have you been trying Brady out at corner?
No, I know, you know, he got fined for something. I never really saw that, so, you know, I can't comment. I never really saw the play, so can't comment.
As a defense coordinator, would it bother you that Belichick going 4-on-4-2 from his own 28 at the end of that Colts game?
Nah, I mean, if you know Bill Belichick, that play was discussed probably 6 o'clock Saturday night in a staff meeting. And that's what he does, and that's what Eric does. You know, guys, we go into this situation, we're playing Indianapolis, we get in a 4th-and-2 or less, we've got these two plays up, we feel strong about them, we're going to run them and keep Peyton Manning off the field. And I could see him doing that. So, you know, it's a team game. It's not about, you know, do you take offense to it and all that. Maybe he took offense to giving up the 2 touchdowns and, you know, the last 2 drives. But with Peyton Manning, he can score on people. So –